You're listening to episode 28 of The Gearheart. I'm your reader, writer, and host, Alex White. Renee White is the voice of our female characters. If you haven't had a chance yet, or you're listening on iTunes or podiobooks.com, you can stop by the Gearheart blog and interact at www.thegearheart.com. There you'll find podcaster interviews, articles, the Gearheart soundtrack, and more. Or you can email me at alex@thegearheart.com. Don't forget that you can also follow us on Twitter, username TheGearHeart. And now, settle in, pour a cup of tea, and enjoy as we bring you more tales of The Gearheart. Last time on The Gearheart, Jonathan triumphed over Queensman Hadley, but found himself facing a foe far beyond his ken. As the Black Dragon takes wing over Cerceville, will he find a way to defeat it? And with Keegan lost to the Seekers, Augustus and Maeve must escape on their own. What will become of them? Find out on The Gearheart. Jonathan believed he would be able to handle the situation on the ground, but the Seekers were wily. While none of his opponents equaled the raw talent of a Queensman, put together they were simply deadly. Jonathan was forced into quarters closer than he would like so that he could tangle with his attackers. He wasn't nearly as worried about their spells as he was their guns, and keeping the gap closed would serve to stop the shots from coming. But as another of his former colleagues fell beneath his greatsword, Jonathan found himself staring at a gulf between him and the next set of targets. They were armed and focused upon him, and Jonathan knew that they were about to fire. Steeling himself, he readied to deflect an oncoming shot, just like he did for Augustus in the tunnels below the palace. What terrible luck that he was facing several bullets. Perhaps he could deflect the bullet away from his head long enough to kill another of them, but he wasn't even sure if he could do it without both of his hands. The creature that leapt into the fray from a nearby rooftop vaguely resembled a man, but Jonathan was unconvinced by its actions. Gnashing, clawing, and rending its way to him, through a trail of surprised and frightened individuals, it managed to divert attention from Jonathan just long enough for him to surprise the group immediately adjacent to him. Jonathan could feel a warm pleasure percolating inside him. Auden Slade loved the killing, and the warrior eagerly wanted to emerge in full control to revel in the bloodshed. One of the Seekers neatly placed a shot through the beast's face as it drew near, but the attack scarcely slowed the creature down. Even with a hole in its head, the beast ripped out the gunman's throat with its steaming, jet-black teeth. Another Seeker impaled it through the chest with a brilliant blade composed only of silvery light, and the beast turned and snapped the man's neck as easily as one would twist off a bottle cap. Jonathan's surprise reached a new height when the beast approached him directly, offering only a grin. He readied his blade, but kept his eyes upon the other Seekers. As dangerous as the creature was, it seemed to like the taste of Seekers, and Jonathan hoped that he didn't register as one. Bushkaton. It attempted through ridiculously large fangs. It did not try to shake hands with its torturous claws. Jonathan, said the swordsman.
Go on, it said. I'll short this out.
Jonathan dashed forward, toward the spot beneath Isabel, watching closely as she and the dragon wheeled about. Her fire had absolutely no effect on the creature, and it was clear that she was drawing upon ever greater reserves of power to combat the great lizard. Even though it seemed impervious to heat, Jonathan knew that Isabel was still looking for a weakness, or just a melting point. The flames of hellfire that she once wielded had grown into the hot orange light of tiny stars streaking about. The black dragon took a sudden dive, and Isabel charged, believing the beast to be falling. With a whirl of rippling muscle,
The creature turned and lashed out at the engulfed woman with its mighty tail and struck true. When the vicious strike connected, Isabel flew straight into the earth, sliding along a trail of gooey orange glass as the ground melted beneath her. The snow upon the courtyard hissed as clouds of steam bloomed from her presence. She passed within a mere 20 feet of Jonathan, and the wave of heat nearly knocked him down. Whatever she had become, it was more than any human. But as her body skidded to a halt on the earth, her flame subsided for just a moment, and Jonathan could see the toll it was taking upon her. Her skin was black, and something underneath glowed like the sun, scattering rays of light upon the ground around her. Her eyes disappeared, replaced by licking flames that coalesced into something like hair upon her head. Flecks of gray ash powder fell away from her like dust, and the surface of her body danced in the firelight like boiling water. Jonathan wanted to cry out, to tell her to stop, to surrender, to throw herself at the mercy of the Seekers, but he knew that she wouldn't listen. He also knew as well as she did that they would not let her live after what she had done. High overhead, the dragon circled, beckoning her into the sky, crying out for its opponent. Why didn't it attack? What was the purpose of its hesitation? Its opponent was dazed and grounded. Surely it could swoop in for the kill and clean up nicely. Then Jonathan realized. The dragon was afraid of him. While no fire could possibly destroy the creature, his sword would do the job quite well. With her on the ground, her opponent was forced back to a safer distance, one where Jonathan could speak to her, one where Jonathan could find a way to help her. Then her gaze was upon him. Though her eyes were gone, he could still read her expression. Fear, anger, despair, and something more ethereal. She hungrily held his gaze as long as she could, and the missing emotion came to the young man. There was a note of longing in her dark face, something in the way her eyebrows wove together with the subtle curl of her lips. She turned away.
"Isabel, wait!"
shouted Jonathan, but he was overruled by the crackling scream of his friend launching back into the atmosphere to do single combat with her foe.
"Isabel!"
Jonathan looked back at the other Seekers. They were otherwise engaged with Buskerton, and Wallaby was nowhere to be seen. His eyes drifted skyward to watch the hail of sparks chased after the dragon like a shooting star. Augustus was more surprised than he had been all day when the doors blew off of the hangar, and it was louder outside the building than it was inside with the firefight, the spinning prop, and the small explosions of arcane energy. The steel shutters tumbled away down the cliffs of the harbor, and the sea-salted breeze beckoned him to leave the throttle all the way open and fly to the nearest island refueling station. But he couldn't. He had to know the source of the thundering surges of magic, gunfire, and screams. Bringing the Avenger about, Augustus saw the origin of the cacophony. The main house at Cerceval was at war in its own front yard, and they were losing. Augustus heard Maeve make a small, sad noise from the back seat, but he didn't bother to ask what she said. He was sure it was an expression of shock, sadness, and horror. As he stared down at the scorched pits in the snow of the courtyard, stained with the blood of his former allies, Augustus felt a tug of guilt, as though he should go to help them. He tried to focus on the fact that, because of them, he had left his close friend and headmaster to die on the deck of the hangar. Then he saw the shapes in the sky, a dragon and a woman engulfed in flames. There was something familiar about her posture, something in the way she moved. She tossed bolt after bolt of flame into the eyes of the creature, blinding it as she streaked around its glistening body. The thing thrashed and clapped its wings in a deafening gust of air that shook even the Avenger, though it was so far away. Stunning the woman, it quickly seized her in its claws and began to squeeze. Then Augustus recognized the bolts of flame. That woman had to be Isabel. He rolled the flyer onto its back and yanked up on the stick, sending his stomach into his throat as he lurched into a dive. Augustus had flown hundreds of sorties before, so he could handle it, but Maeve screeched from the back seat. Pulling out of it, he centered his steel sights on the beast,
and waited for the swift stunt razor to close the distance to firing range. Weakly, Isabel threw her hand up and traced another flaming glyph, shooting a rocket of smoke and crackling fire across the front of the Avenger. Augustus quickly reacted to avoid the thing, but there was a whisper in its wake, rising up out of the sizzling projectile. It was Isabel's voice speaking through the flames.
Gus,
she said,
take Maeve and get out of here.
Augustus knew what Maeve would say in just a moment. She would say that Isabel was right, that she had told them to leave. Maeve would say exactly what any other sane person would say. She would say that there was nothing they could do for Isabel, and that they had to focus on survival now. However, Augustus knew that there was something they could do for Isabel, and so he didn't bother waiting for the former agent's objections. They could close the gap and open fire. That was what they could do. Augustus allowed his magic to radiate from his body, doing what he had always done well all of his life. He allowed it to wind its way between the mechanical elements, caressing them, sensing their positions and tolerances. He penetrated the Avenger's outer skin, feeling out every bolt, every wire, and every joint until it was a much larger layer covering his own body. His feet on the pedals felt like the tail of a fish, swishing the aileron this way and that to maneuver the craft. His hands on the flight stick became the wings of a bird, and the engine was the beat of his heart. The Avenger became his armor, his skin, and his true love.
What are you doing?
Shouted Maeve, nearly standing up in her seat.
Augustus!
The bursting reports of the elemental cannon told Maeve to be quiet, as wobbling tracers sliced apart the air between the dragon and the aircraft. Augustus grit his teeth, laying down the trigger with the strength of a vice, and planted shot after shot into the earthy skin of his enemy. Puffs of blood erupted from the flesh of the dragon, wafting into the air like the spores of a fungus. He peppered its body and head. The Avenger blazed by in a streak of red, and as Augustus looked back, he saw the beast drop Isabel. The dragon dropped Isabel to pursue the stunt plane, and the dragon was very, very fast. Suddenly, there were teeth to Augustus's left, enormous, glittering, rusty teeth, scratched and cracked from eons of use. There was breath, rotten and potent like burning sulfur, and Augustus rolled away on pure reflex. The left wing would have been sheared off had it been any lesser plane or any lesser pilot. He cursed under his breath when, once the plane was righted, all he could see above him was the massive, scaly underbelly of the great flying lizard.
Down!
Shouted Maeve, and Augustus sent the Avenger into a dive as the animal's claws clutched the air where the plane had just been. Had it struck, there would have been a bloody mess of splinters and shrapnel tumbling to the earth. The dragon gave chase in a whirl of leathery tail and wings, diving down after the plane as it shot toward the ground. This time, however, Augustus was faster. This wasn't about power, it was about gravity, and the Avenger's sleek form blasted forward much quicker than the beast could manage. He held his breath, and his vision clouded as the vehicle developed an insistent scream, light at first, but louder as the dive went deeper. The buildings were coming. The street was coming. The earth was marching toward them, ready to smear the tiny plane across its surface. And in spite of knowing this, Augustus continued the dive, placing valuable feet between himself and the lizard. Augustus glanced back just once to see how much he had gained, and saw Maeve loose a red rocket of arcane power at the creature's gaping mouth. The great lizard spun out of the way as easily as one would step away from a slow-moving vehicle. But the pilot had to admire her for trying. He felt as though he could never manage to cast a spell in a diving vehicle, as the blood rushed into his head all at once, and he felt his consciousness jerk at the reins trying to get away. He wondered if he could even pilot a diving vehicle. Not enough. It wasn't enough. If Augustus ended his dive, the beast would swoop down on him like a hawk and carry them away. He needed to go further. A part of him wanted to apologize to Maeve for what he was about to try, but there was no time. If they died, so be it. So he simply commanded,
"Hang on!"
Some fancy work with the foot pedals and flight stick finesse rolled the plane 180 degrees, and Augustus yanked back, breaking off in the opposite direction and barreling into the space between the buildings. It worked, and his pursuer crashed into the ground, shredding automobiles and asphalt. Dust and snow blasted back into its face as it gave a tremendous beat of its wings and rose into the air. The Avenger zipped along over roadways and pedestrians below, but the inertia of the dive would soon wear off, and the Predator would be upon them again.
Augustus!
Maeve shouted, but she couldn't seem to finish a sentence.
Keep casting! Keep casting!
Shouted the pilot in return, and though he couldn't hear the breathy sound of her glyphs, he knew they were coming. The beast shot toward them and caught up with barely 3 beats of its leathery wings. Brilliant streamers of energy streaked out at it from Maeve's section of the plane, and the dragon weaved and dodged out of the way. Before long, it was almost directly on top of them, only limited from an attack by the fact that its grand wingspan was larger than the distance between the buildings. Augustus believed that, as long as they stayed in the street below the wealthy houses, the creature would be unable to attack because of its colossal wingspan. As he looked back at the dragon, checking to see if he needed to dodge, Maeve reached out and slapped him hard enough to spin his head. There was a sharp bend in the road. They were coming to a split. Augustus yanked the Avenger into a bank, roaring over pedestrians and throwing some of them to the ground as he blew past. He felt the wingtips of the plane nearly touch concrete. Death at this speed. His stomach squished down into his seat, and his cheeks smeared back across his face as he maneuvered the Avenger into the center of the street. He didn't have to look back to see the great lizard careen into one of the buildings at full tilt. He knew that it was shaking away the rock dust and former occupants of the house as he sped away. He couldn't continue to allow that. Those pedestrians were covered with rubble. The servants and nobles in the building were probably torn to pieces. Isabel was safe from the dragon. There was no need to involve others anymore in his affairs. Augustus had to end it, and he had to end it right then. The snowy-haired pilot slid the flight stick back between his legs and inhaled slowly as the Avenger rose back into the sky. When it was perpendicular to the ground, he rolled it over and pushed the stick forward, easing it level with the horizon. To what he imagined was Maeve's horror, the striking crimson stunt flyer was pointed straight at the black beast. Another subtle movement of the flight stick brought the thing into his sights. He was going to strafe it as it was recovering. The beast loosed an ear-splitting roar and leapt from one building to the next, decimating their rooftops. The wind caught its wings, and it was airborne again, hauling its massive body straight at Augustus and Maeve. Its teeth seemed somehow sharper, and the thing was more intent than ever upon devouring them. They could see every muscle ripple in its frame, eagerly shuffling in anticipation of the kill. Augustus lit it up, pouring shot after shot into its open mouth and spraying its face and eyes. For a moment, it seemed as though it simply ate the bolts of elemental power, swallowing it whole to live in its crushing stomach. Then Augustus noticed that the dragon had grown a sudden red beard of streaking blood, and he realized that the cannon had blasted through the bottom of its jaw like a spike of light. Its eyes rolled back in its head, and its body went limp. That didn't change the fact that they were on a collision course. Quick reflexes sent the Avenger in a wide arc as the dragon went down in the street, painting the tar with its blood and bones before sliding to a halt. Augustus didn't know that he was laughing before he heard Maeve's musical voice saying,
"You did it! You actually did it!"
Augustus wiped the tears from his eyes, replacing his goggles. Isabel would be safe now. He would turn the plane around and hit the palace with everything he had, and they would all get out of there. However, when he brought the Avenger to face the azimuth of the palace, all he could see was a tiny sun. Their dragon protector absent off fighting the red airplane, the Seekers began to scatter. It was only a few at first, probably initiates who fled into the rich sprawl of the palace district. Then the more experienced folk began to lose their will to fight, broken by the ferocity of Jonathan's blade. The last Seekers didn't rout until the Gelsit Palace Guard joined the fight, arresting anyone upon whom they could lay hands. The golden coats of their uniforms blazed in the sun as they chased and beat those closest to them, and they fired upon any assailants. Jonathan remembered something very important that Keegan had told him about the founding of the Seekers. They were a royal order of knights until they renounced their oath, and they had leverage against the government of Gelsit. They founded the main house in the palace so that they could keep an eye on Gelsit, and vice versa. Now it appeared that, after hundreds of years, the Empire of Gelsit was going to have their chance to reclaim what was once theirs.
Slade's attacks upon Jonathan's mind were more insistent than ever.
Jonathan felt as though he was precariously clinging to a cliff, and the furious Commoner King grasped his leg with rippling power. It was everything Jonathan could do to prevent Auden Slade from scrambling to the surface and sending him hurtling into the abyss. Jonathan had no idea the price he would already pay for possessing such power for such a long time, and yet he continued to draw upon Slade's energy. Jonathan bolted for cover as the bullets of the palace guard bit into the stone statuary near his body. With a severely wounded hand, the last thing the young man wanted was to have another hole in him.
He saw as they reassessed their targets and turned their rifles onto the true threat.
Isabel.
Izzy!
He yelled, sizing up the guards. It was then that he felt the sunlight on his back and the warmth that had enveloped the entire area. It was as though the clouds had parted, allowing a single ray of sun to illuminate the courtyard and radiate warmth like an early spring day. The snow under Jonathan's feet instantaneously grew a crust of ice, and he felt chill water seep into his leather boots. The frost traveled from his feet to his spine and brushed against his heart like a cold snake coiling inside him. He didn't want to turn around, but he wanted to with all of his heart. He didn't want to see what he knew he had to see. The cast of the light was so beautiful, and somehow Jonathan knew that he should be crying. When he turned to face her, Isabel was the avatar of a goddess. The last of her blackened, crackled skin had sloughed away, replaced by sparkling bolts of arcing plasma. The flames in the air roared and raced like surging water coursing over the surface of her body. The wind unfurled the pulsing inferno behind her into a set of two tattered wings that bellowed like some long-forgotten flag as she sank slowly from the sky to the ground. Where her delicate, luminous toe touched the ground, a flow of lava sprouted like a patch of algae, echoing outward. The bodies beneath her feet were burned to ash almost as though they were cut from paper, and their sparks fluttered away into the wind. Pitch-black clouds of choking smoke followed in her wake as she took step after step across the courtyard to the bloodied warrior. As she made her way forward, her form flickered and stretched in places, becoming thin like a guttering match. The Seekers had mostly fled. Wallaby and Buskerton had chased after them. Those that remained watched, perhaps wondering why they weren't yet burned away by the flames. The guards had lowered their weapons, not thinking to fire, watching with the awe that one might have for an approaching tornado. Isabel's flames were a finger of the sublime, a great angel of peril, inexorable, inescapable, gorgeous, and deadly. Everyone present knew that they were witnessing everything that the natural world could muster, channeled into the frail body of a young woman. Everyone except for Jonathan. He could only notice the cold streaks of tears against his reddening skin and the palpable numbness that coated his face. It was over. He knew it was over. Lost. All lost. She stopped 15 paces shy of Jonathan, with him mere inches from her circle of destruction. The lava welled about her feet, and Jonathan's armor began to burn his skin. He willed himself not to shield his eyes, not to turn away or let her know that she was hurting him. He clasped the pain in his mind and used it as a focus against Slade, who beat upon the door to his mind so violently that the young man felt dizziness overtake him. He fell to one knee before her. His blade sang as it bounced upon the bare stone beneath him. "This can't happen, Izzy. Please, don't let this happen." There was no answer. Jonathan stared at his fingers in the gauntlets as they scraped the ground, gleaming in the light of her beauty. He couldn't look up into her glory. He couldn't look his beautiful failure in the face. "Please. Please, Izzy. Oh, please don't leave me." Jonathan mustered the courage to beg. His face rose and his eyes met the glowing orbs set where Isabel's beautiful brown eyes once were. "You can't, Izzy," said the warrior, setting his teeth. "Please.
I love you."
White silence. When Jonathan could see again, the main house at Cerceval seemed to leap from its foundation, backward from the blast, landing as a pile of baked, tumbling stones. As the flames rolled away from him, several bits of debris were picked up by the force of the detonation and whipped away across the winds. A field of ash stretched and yawned underneath his boots as orange flakes of embers fluttered in the shockwave like cherry blossoms on the breeze. Jonathan couldn't see those on the ground with him, but he knew they were dead before they knew what had happened. But Jonathan could feel no heat, no burning. He could only hear the static screech of the flame and the timpani beat of the explosion. It was a world deprived of shadow, scoured clean by flame. And in the whispering flicker of the fire, Jonathan heard the words,
"I love you too."
And then he was alone, kneeling in a field of ashes that had been robbed of their meager color by the gray winter light. Snow fell once again upon Cerceval, and Auden Slade sunk his claws deep into Jonathan's soul.
Licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivative Works 3.0 license. For more information, visit creativecommons.org.
The incredible vocals featured on this episode were provided by Starla Hutchton of the Dreamer's Thread novel. You can find her work at www.thedreamersthreadnovel.com.